A Jewish millionaire gave away half his possessions because of what he saw from a tree limb. I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts about the time it takes to say yes. Hello, this is Joe Cruz of the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. Our broadcast today continues to explore the intriguing question of how to know whether we're saved or not. Some of the most fertile ground for deception lies right in this area of feeling and faith. Multitudes are relying upon the ecstatic emotional thermometer as a measure of salvation. If the feelings are not excited quite considerably, the religious experience is discounted immediately. Now, in our last broadcast, we learned that the first two tests are, number one, being born again, and then, two, obedience to God's commandments. Now, today, we're brought to the third acid test of whether we're saved or not, and it's described in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, please notice that the cleansing from sin is on condition that we confess and repent. Let me ask you this question. This is a very personal question, and you don't need to answer it aloud, of course, but what do you do when you're invited to dinner? The hostess has spread the table with a nice white tablecloth. You're trying to be very careful, and yet somebody hits your elbow, something happens, and you spill a little gravy or maybe some jam right on that beautiful white tablecloth. You're so embarrassed. You were trying so hard not to do it, And here, maybe because you were trying so hard not to, you got tense and did the very thing you didn't want to do. Now, friends, when this happens, what do you do? You don't need to tell me what you do, but I'm going to tell you what I do when I'm invited out to eat and I spill the gravy or some jam. I glance out of the corner of my eye, and when nobody's looking, I take a knife and scoop it up. Then when nobody's looking again, I take a saucer and move it over the spot. Now, maybe it should embarrass me to tell you that, but I do it, so I might as well tell you. Of course, I try not to spill it in the first place. But isn't it so human when we make a mistake, the very first thing we try to do is cover it up? But the Bible says that if we're going to have our sins forgiven, we must come right out in the open with it and confess. Actually, in the end, these things come out in the open anyway. I know that when I spill some gravy on the tablecloth, that after we leave and the hostess is clearing the table, she'll find that spot. And she'll think to herself, now, who was sitting there? Oh, yes, I remember. That's where the preacher was sitting. He spilled the gravy. So it all comes out in the end anyway. You can try to cover it up, but in the end it will be found out. And that's the way it is with sin. The Bible says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Proverbs 28:13. Now, how can we know what to confess? The Bible says that in order to have our sins forgiven, we have to confess. We have to admit that we've done wrong. Now, how can we know right from wrong? Somebody says, well, we can feel it. The Bible says the heart is deceitful. You cannot rely on your feelings alone. God has given us a definite way to know what sin is, so that we'll know when we need to confess. 1 John 3:4 gives us that answer. Sin is the transgression of the law. Now there it is. That's what sin is. It's the breaking of God's great moral law, because James 2:10 says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. James 2:10-12. Obedience to the law of liberty, which is God's Ten Commandments, sets us free from sin. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, used to illustrate this text with a chain of 10 links. He would say, how many of these links do I have to break in order to break the chain? Now, if we have a beautiful chandelier hanging from a chain of 10 links, we just need to break one link, and that chandelier will go crashing to the floor just as surely as if we had broken all 10. And that's what the Lord is trying to tell us here. If we deliberately and repeatedly break one commandment, we're breaking God's law. God wants to bring us into harmony with all His commandments. Eve broke one commandment, and God put her out of the Garden of Eden. God cannot take you or me into heaven if we willfully break even one commandment. If we deliberately go out and steal, or if we deliberately tell a lie, and then we refuse to confess, we refuse the only means of forgiveness. That one sin, if it's covered up, can keep you out of heaven. Because the Bible says that all have sinned. Some people reason, well, what's the use of trying to obey? Some people even go so far as to say that it's impossible to keep God's law. And of course it is, in our own strength. But with God, all things are possible. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4:13. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. 1 John 2:4. It's Satan who would have us believe that God expects of us the impossible. Now remember, there is a difference between willful, deliberate sin and the unintentional sin that people might stumble into. It's the willful violation of God's law that will keep a man out of heaven. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. James 4:17. A true Christian will live up to all the light that he has. And that brings us to the fourth test by which you can know whether you're saved or not. And I read this one from 1 John 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, only those who walk in all the light that God gives them will have their sins covered by the blood of Jesus. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 7:21. Not what we say, but what we do will be the final test. Imagine the case of a man who claims to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. He's never heard about baptism until one day as he's reading his Bible, he finds the text which says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16:16. Now, if the man is really an earnest and is a sincere believer, as soon as he finds this verse, he will want to find out about baptism and prepare for baptism. The experience of Peter on the night of the Last Supper demonstrates the very same principle. Peter believed in Jesus and was one of his disciples, and yet when the Lord began to wash Peter's feet, he said, Thou shalt never wash my feet. John 13:8. In the same verse, Jesus told Peter, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. The Lord was calling Peter to a deeper experience. And so he told him that day, he had new light for Peter. Jesus made it very clear that Peter's salvation depended on whether or not he accepted this new light. Christianity is a walk. It's not standing still. The Bible says, But the path of the just is as the shining light which shineth more and more unto a perfect day. Proverbs 4, verse 18. All right, test number 5 by which to tell if you're saved or lost is this. Are you looking forward to the return of Jesus, and are you getting ready to meet him when he returns? The true Christian will be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. This blessed hope brings about a change in the life. John the Beloved said, Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. 1 John 3:2-3. Before leaving this earth, Jesus gave his disciples a promise. He says, If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. John 14:3. Now just imagine a young wife. Her husband has gone to Europe on business. He faithfully writes letters assuring his wife of his love for her. After the man has been away for a long time, friends begin asking the wife when he's coming home. She says, I don't have any idea. And then she changes the subject and begins to talk about something else entirely. But the friends press that point, and they say, Don't you care when he comes back? No, she says, not particularly. He writes to me, and that's enough. Now, from the casual reply, the friends would conclude that the wife's love for her husband is not very strong. When we really love Jesus, we long to be with him. We want him to return. The hope of his return affects our entire way of life. If we believe that his coming and his kingdom are real, we will naturally heed the counsel of Jesus. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. The things of eternity will be the first interest for the Christian. Salvation is a matter of decision. It's possible to know about Jesus and not be saved. It's possible to know how to be saved and yet not be saved. In order to be saved, you must decide to live by what you know is right. This decision is the all-important one. There's no need to go on in a state of indecision. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." John 5:24. Now this is present assurance, friends. It's just as good as a check with a genuine signature and money in the bank to back it up. You may have to wait till the bank opens in the morning to cash your check, but it's good and you have it right now. And so it is with eternal life. You may have it now, but you may have to wait till the resurrection morning to live it. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming," Jesus said, "and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." John 5:25. The promise is, "I will raise him up at the last day." So the offer of eternal life through faith in Jesus is good right now. Salvation depends on your decision to accept the offer. I've had people ask me, "How long do you think it takes for a person to be saved?" Well, first of all, let me say what I think doesn't make the least bit of difference. It's what the Bible says that matters. We need to get away from relying on the opinions of men and get back to the Bible and what God says. How long does it take to be saved? I think a little story of the Bible illustrates exactly how long it takes to come to Christ. You remember the little short millionaire tax collector named Zacchaeus who climbed a sycamore tree to get a better look at Jesus? He was a very dishonest, despised man when he started making his way up the trunk of that tree. Everybody hated publicans because of their notorious corruption and bribery. But listen, when he climbed down out of that tree, he was a changed man. The Bible says that as soon as he hit the ground, he offered to give half his goods to the poor and restore 4 times anything he had ever taken unjustly. Talk about conversion. This was it. Jesus himself confirmed it when he said in Luke 19:9, "This day is salvation come to this house." Friends, the fact is that anybody can be changed from death to life in a fraction of a moment by yielding the heart wholly to Christ. For Zacchaeus, it took place while he was climbing a tree. For you, it could be while you sit by your radio or your television. Will you make that surrender now? It's only a step to eternal life. Don't hesitate to step over that line this very moment and make that decision today. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.